fire rescue, EMS, law enforcement. These are the three components of public safety. And those who answer the call are the first responders. Welcome to another episode of 5-Alarm Task Force with your host, Steve Green. 5-Alarm Task Force presents some of the best instructors, leaders, and mentors in public safety today to educate, elucidate, and entertain. No topic is out of bounds, and every opinion has value. 5-Alarm Task Force is brought to you by 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission. First responders helping each other. And our sponsors, Insight Fire Training LLC, your best bet for fire service thermal imaging camera training. The Firehouse Tribune, where you can expand your horizons in emergency services and learn to work hard, stay safe, and live inspired. And our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, LifeScan Wellness Center, saving the lives of America's heroes, Nestor Bars, the amazing new hand tool for the fire service, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, fighting to extinguish firefighter cancer since 2004, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. Remember, our ultimate goal is for you to be safe and return home after every call. So insert those earphones or turn up those speakers. The 5-Alarm Task Force is being dispatched right now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of 5-Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Happy to be with you and happy to have you with us once again. We're happy to be back. There was a little lapse, unfortunately, because of an illness that I came down with, but doing better now and we're back with you. My guest today is a dear friend, former Executive Assistant Chief for Broward County Fire Rescue, and that is Todd LeDuc, who is the Chief Strategy Officer for LifeScan Wellness Centers. And we'll be talking with Todd a lot about the company and some of the amazing results they have and why their motto is, we save first responders. And it's so true, and you'll hear that in the podcast. If you're looking for previous episodes and you want to listen to some of the other podcasts you may have missed, or maybe you're a new listener, you can go to our website at www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. That'll take you right to the website, and you'll see across the top tabs, you'll see podcast, and go to the podcast library, and there we have over 150 episodes available for you to listen to. And of course, don't forget, we're on YouTube now. We have some videos. We have about half dozen or more video interviews that we've posted there. So if you'd rather watch the interview that we've recorded via Zoom with our guest, you can just go to our channel on YouTube, which is same name, the number 5-Alarm Task Force Corp, and you'll find everything right there. On the website, our website, when you visit, if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter, I'll have one going out just before the end of the year, and we only send about 7 or 8 of them out during the year. We do not send spam. We do not sell your emails or give them away. We protect them to the best we can under the law. And should you ever want to unsubscribe, all you have to do is send an email to dalmatprod@outlook.com and we will, with the word unsubscribe in the subject, and you'll immediately be deleted from the list. We don't play games about this. We want you to get the newsletter if you're interested, and if you're not interested, we don't want to bother you. So just let us know. We really enjoy seeing the likes on Facebook now. We have our single page for 5-Alarm Task Force. The numbers are up close over 600 the last time we saw, and with trying to get back to that as quickly as we can to visit there and answer some of your questions and friend requests. Again, I'm trying to catch up because I've been sick for a month and I didn't do anything for that month. I couldn't even read a book. That's how weak it was. But we're glad you like us and we're happy to have you, and always feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or through our email. And by the way, you know, a lot of you listen to the audio version of the podcast on the major platforms. And most of those major platforms provide you the opportunity to leave a review. Now, what's important about the review is really not the way people necessarily going to look at us or the podcast. What's important is that the platforms use those reviews, especially the positive reviews, in their algorithms as how they work their search engine. So if somebody looks for the podcast 5-Alarm Task Force if we don't have any good reviews, we're way, 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 way down on the list. But if we have good reviews, it doesn't have to be the best, but we have good reviews, we're up higher. So when people are looking for us, maybe new listeners who have heard about it, or you've told somebody about it, but you didn't give them the location, how to reach us, and they want to search for it on a platform, their favorite platform, we want to be able to be sure that they're able to find us and have the opportunity to listen to us. So if you haven't done it already and you listen to us regularly on one of these podcast platforms, please, 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 it's a holiday season, we're asking a small favor, just leave us a positive review, and that will be a big help to us. And if you enjoy the podcast and you'd like to have a little bit of peace of us, and at the same time, help our goal to assist our brothers and sister first responders in dire need, on our website, we have our store, and we have our t-shirts up there. We have black t-shirts and gray t-shirts. On the front is our logo, and on the back is our motto, one family, one mission, first responders helping each other. The net proceeds of the t-shirt sales goes to the Five Alarm Task Force Corp Foundation account. That is the account we use to disperse funds for first responders in dire need. And as you'll hear later on in the show, I'll explain two of the donations we have made thanks to the help of you, our listeners, and our viewers. So we still need more, because this is a tough time for a lot of people. We know that you've watched the news wherever you live. You've seen the lines of people looking out, trying to get food and staples just to support their family. It's a difficult time to give. I know that because at the end of December, we usually make our personal donations to our favorite charities that we support. This year, we can't give as much as we have in the past. But, you know, we try to give a little bit, because even a little bit can help. So if you visit our website, you'll see that most pages have a donate button. If you just give a dollar or $5, that's fine, because that's it. That's going to help us. And you don't have to have a PayPal account. You can use any credit or debit card that you want, and it'll be a big help to us. And you'll know that that money is going to help our brothers and sisters in dire need. And that's it. So we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll be with my guest, Todd LeDuc from LifeScan Wellness Centers. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
New technology for the fire service seems to appear almost every day, and that technology demands a learning curve, especially if we're talking about thermal imaging cameras. That's where Insight Fire Training LLC is your best bet. With an excellent reputation across the U.S., Insight Fire Training will meet all your TIC training needs. Their curriculum is peer-reviewed and has been used internationally. Their instructors are Level 1 Thermography Certified, and they have taught in 33 states and 4 countries. Their courses run from introductory to training the trainers. Courses are available online, for the classroom, classroom hybrid, and even live fire. Insight Training LLC is proficient in over 40 thermal imaging cameras, so you feel confident they will know your make and model. Best of all, programs are customized to your specific needs, and their cadre of fire service veterans are vetted craftsmen of Project Kill the Flashover. They are so proficient that they have trained TIC manufacturers on how to best use and sell their own product. That's Insight Fire Training LLC. Look them up on InsightTrainingLLC.com, your best bet for TIC training.
The Firehouse Tribune, where inspiration was forged by those who came before us, opening the doors for us to build a path to share our mission with the rest of the emergency service world. With a small, tight-knit team of first responders dedicated to sharing experiences and knowledge, we constantly strive to provide our followers with thought-provoking content from all aspects of emergency services and life. Our contributors speak at top fire and EMS conferences in the country. They have been guests on numerous fire service podcasts, will even come and speak at your firehouse or event. Interested? Visit their website, www.thefirehousetribune.com, and find them on Facebook using The Firehouse Tribune, and on Twitter at FH Tribune, and on Instagram, FH Tribune. We live by one motto, not just in emergency services, but in life as well. Excellence is a habit, not a goal. We look forward to hearing from you soon. Until next time, work hard, stay safe, and live inspired.
Welcome to Chief Miller. Chief Miller operates the largest social media page dedicated to the men and women of the fire service from around the world. Check him out on Instagram at Chief_Miller. Find him on Twitter at Chief_Miller. And check out the website where you can find Chief Miller Apparel at ChiefMillerApparel.com.
And welcome back to the latest episode of Five Alarm Task Force. I'm your host, Steve Green. Yes, we have been away for a while. Unfortunately, I was ill with a serious infection that, thank goodness, has been brought under control and I'm feeling better. Not 100% yet, but the doctors say I'm on my way. And that's the most important point. And we're back. And I couldn't be happier to come back than with a close friend for nearly 30 years, a gentleman who has been on the podcast several times, who has a role, who has led a role in a fire department down here in South Florida, Broward County Fire Rescue, a division of the Broward County Sheriff's Office, and came down as a paramedic from the Boston area where I'm from. And that's what really cemented our friendship. He got his paramedic degree at Northeastern, right, Todd?
Was that Northeastern? Absolutely. Yeah, right. Northeastern. Very good memory.
Right. And it's funny because my nephew, one of my nephews got his master's degree after graduating from Brandeis, master's degree in criminal law at Northeastern University.
Oh, very good. As well. Great school. Great school.
And yeah, we used to go when I was at Brandeis, we used to head over there to visit some friends. I had a great time. And that connection, plus another mutual friend of ours who actually, we met at his wedding, which was Mike Jackals. Mike Jackals, right. And that was interesting because when we were starting our company of Dalmatian Productions, we put a letter in Firehouse, and I get a call from the Onondaga County in Syracuse, New York, fire director, who said, "Hey, do you know Mike Jackals?" And I said, "No, why?" He goes, "Well, he was assistant chief at the township next to us, right next to DeWitt." And he said, "You guys have to know each other. We've been on at least five or six calls at the same time, a mutual aid." Well, Mike and I hadn't known each other. We met, we became friends. Mike wanted to get married, and I was a notary. And he said, "Would you do the wedding?" I went to the wedding, and he introduced me to Todd, and the rest is history.
Very small world.
Since then. So let me just let you know about this friend of mine. Todd LeDuc, with MS, CFO, and CEM, and Florida Fire, is a nearly 30-year veteran. He was a 30-year veteran, Broward County, Florida Fire Service. He served as the assistant fire chief, and was also the secretary of the International Association of Fire Chiefs Safety, Health, and Survival Section. Congratulations on you were reelected. Thank goodness.
Thank you very much.
We did a lot of public social media to push that along. And he was a peer reviewer for both professional credentialing and agency accreditation with the Center for Public Safety Excellence. He holds a master's degree in fire service leadership, as a designated chief fire officer, certified emergency manager, and holds fellow status in the Institute of Fire Engineers. He publishes and conferences presents frequently, is on numerous editorial advisory boards, and has conducted consulting studies of public safety agencies in over a dozen states. He has been recognized by both the IAFC and the IAFF for his leadership on firefighter survival. He was also a board member of the YMCA of South Florida and Health Mothers, Healthy Babies of Broward County. Now, he did retire about a year and a half ago, and he actually got to spend a full day in retirement. He played golf.
That's true. That's a true story.
And then the next day, second day after his retirement, why don't you tell him what happened, Todd?
So, yeah, I've been told I failed the retirement test miserably, but I guess for good reason. As you point out, Steve, my passion, has been firefighter health and safety. I had the opportunity to join a company that I would become familiar with through my time at Broward County in the Florida Fire Chiefs and the IFC, really, which was LifeScan Wellness Centers, and joined their executive team as their chief strategy officer. So just a natural fit for me to continue my passion, which is, addressing preventable risk and reducing risk and saving lives. Quite frankly, it was a tremendous opportunity that I was blessed to have.
And it's great. And, you've continued you actually started even though you weren't working for them, you started that relationship when you were still executive assistant chief at Broward County. And that goal was to, as we saw the firefighter cancer initiative really kick in over the last 5 to 8 years, and we saw a better focus by our national organizations, both from the IAFC, SHS, the IAFC itself, the IAFF, and the NVFC, a stronger focus on firefighter health and welfare, the development of the, as we said, the cancer initiative, the behavioral health initiatives. All this was coming up at the right time, so that as you got familiar with LifeScan while you were still at Broward, it gave you an insight into how that company could actually mesh to our goals that you have had always, that I've picked up from you and from others, of firefighter health, wellness, and fitness for duty. So why don't you talk about the company, what they do and how it's done, and what our people could expect if they are looking in their area for their department or a neighboring department who might be, you know, interested in doing this.
Sure. Absolutely, Steve. And let me just start by saying, I'm glad to hear that you're on the mend. I know you've had a challenging month, so I'm glad that you're back almost back to 100%. So it's good to be on again today. I always enjoy, it's a special treat for me to be with you and your listeners and your audience. So as you pointed out, you know, firefighters' health and first responders' health really is very unique. It is different in many ways from general public health. You know, LifeScan was founded by a couple, Patricia Johnson and her now husband, Mike Tarana, in 1998 in Florida, so over two decades ago, with a simple mission, which was to save the lives of first responders. And the design and the vision was to develop a comprehensive early detection physical exam using some of the baseline NFPA 1582, NFPA 1583, which of course is your fitness assessment, comprehensive lab panels, but also to integrate enhanced imaging as part of the physical. So we're somewhat unique we've incorporated ultrasound imaging to look for disease processes, cardiovascular issues, blockages before symptoms present. And you know, certainly we look at occupational cancer in firefighters. We know that general public, 40% of us are going to battle cancer at some time in our lives. And we know for firefighters from the NIOSH study that we have 9% higher risk than that, than general population. And unfortunately, we have 14% higher mortality rates, meaning that we don't survive our cancers. So what LifeScan has designed is a comprehensive 3-hour approach to public safety providers' physicals. And I say that because we see both law enforcement as well as firefighters. That 3-hour approach is very, very comprehensive. I know in Broward, when initially I looked at different providers, LifeScan was really the most comprehensive one I could find in the country. And so we actually come on site, two departments. We'll do your blood draws ahead of time. And then we send a clinical team to your location. That clinical team has an advanced nurse practitioner, a clinical exercise physiologist, and a ultrasound technician. And we see members a day. So 9 firefighters or 9 law enforcement officers. And there's 3 separate and distinct components to the exam. So 1 hour will be spent with that clinical exercise physiologist who will conduct the NFPA 1583 fitness assessment. So we're looking at things such as range of motion, strength, flexibility, endurance. We'll do resting 12-lead electrocardiogram. We'll also do a 12-lead EKG stress test, looking for underlying factors of cardiovascular disease. The second portion of that physical is an hour with the ultrasound technician. So ultrasound, of course, allows us to see inside the body. It basically does not have any radiation, so it's very, very safe. And we also are able to get imaging to look at both carotid arteries, looking for blockages, the thyroid itself, looking for masses, nodules, anything that would be clinically suspicious. We are also looking at the left ventricle to look for enlargement of the heart muscle itself. We know that upwards of 80% of our firefighter sudden cardiac deaths have 2 factors. One is underlying cardiac disease and an enlarged left ventricle. And we can screen for that with ultrasound, cardiac echo. And that's now a recommendation that's coming out from National Consensus Panel. And I'm proud to say LifeScan's been doing that for 23 years. So we like to say we've been ahead of, looking at a standard occupational physical does not pick up many of the disease processes early and that firefighters are faced with. So that ultrasound will also look at your thoracic and abdominal aorta, all the abdominal organs and testicular ultrasound and pelvic cavity in women. And then the last hour is spent with the nurse practitioner. So she will conduct or he will conduct the full NFPA 1582 head-to-toe physical. We'll go over all your laboratory findings. We'll review all the ultrasound imaging and review the cardiac stress testing, as well as behavioral health screening, nutrition screenings, and exercise plan for the member to work on for the next year. So think about, when was the last time many of us had a 3-hour stem to stern overview of our health, focused by clinical providers that all we see are first responders. So we know what the risks are to first responders, where we are part of many national research projects, because LifeScan has grown from predominantly Florida based, and we do many, I would say even most of the fire department physicals in the state of Florida. And law enforcement, we service the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, and many others. Through really word of mouth in the fire service, I like to say all the time, and you know this, Steve, there's no secrets in the fire service, and it's a very tight and small community. So LifeScan has been great partners with the IFC. We've been a partner with the Florida Professional Firefighters for many years. And so we have really expanded over the last 3 years. We're now in over 20 some odd states where our brothers and sisters from across the country, as you pointed out at the beginning of the show, are searching for ways to combat the elevated rates of cancer, the elevated rates of cardiac death in firefighters, behavioral health, and through those efforts to provide a more robust early detection approach, have come to LifeScan and learned what we do and talked to departments like mine and Broward, where we've been doing them for a decade, in all the success stories. I mean, we know that cancer is an example. We know that if we can identify cancer in stage one, where it's in the primary site of origin, survival rate in most cases are in the high 90 to 100% survival. Tragically, we know that if that cancer leaves the primary site and spreads, in many cases at stage three and four, survival just drops off the cliff into, you know, the teens or even single digit. And you know, for the employers as well, obviously that's you know, tragically, it can be, that's preventable through early detection. But for the employers, particularly 49 of the 50 states now have some type of cancer presumption coverage under law. But we know it's cheaper for the employers to invest in a life scan physical than it is to treat a late stage cancer. You know, a stage three or four cancer, the NIOSH and RAND study tells us is about $800,000 to treat. And at the end, and tragically, you have a bad outcome. And we know that for the cost of a, I've got one firefighter in Spring, Texas, Matt Corsair. We found a testicular cancer in him with imaging. He, they made a video on the importance of life scan in doing a comprehensive early detection physicals. You know, and on the video, he says, for the less than the cost of the Class A dress uniform that you would have buried me in, the department invested in life scan, and that physical saved my life. I'm here today because of it. You know, that really hit me. I not only heard him say that on video, he attended a presentation that I did at the volunteer combination VCOS symposium last year, was in the audience, and said that same thing in person, and almost everyone in the room choked up when they heard it. Because that's really the goal, is if we, you may have heard me say, we would never not think of doing preventative maintenance and checks on our apparatus. I mean, it just would be foolhardy not to do that. We put ourselves and our public at risk. And really, we need to bring that same approach annually to our firefighter physicals, because we tragically, and I know all your listeners that are listening, and you yourself, and in my department in Broward, I look back at members that we've lost, and many of them were potentially preventable through enhanced early detection. That's really what drove me to bring life scan wellness centers into my department in Broward. And now I'm blessed to be able to work nationally to bring that same level of comprehensive early detection physicals to my brothers and sisters across the country. And let's face it, a firefighter and public safety, first responder, health research is evolving so quickly. We're learning additional testing, additional screening. So it's really exciting for me to be at the forefront of boots on the ground, implementing this in departments across the country. So, you know, for, I'll say it again, the standard occupational physical, you know, think about oftentimes when you go to one of your physicals that's not designed for a first responder, we typically order, see testing or screening ordered if there's symptoms. And one of the things we know is that in many disease processes, by the time symptoms are occurring, there's already been damage, whether that's cardiac damage, whether that's in cancer, it's spread beyond the primary site of origin. So again, what we have really honed in designing is a unique physical tailored around the health risk for firefighters and law enforcement to find any type of risk or disease process at the earliest stage so we can quickly get it taken care of, get you back on the job, and make sure you have a healthy and sound career and enjoy retirement for a long time and in good health. So that's really the mission. I know we've got limited time and there's so much information. We've got a very robust website. It's www.lifescanwellness.com. Overviews our entire approach. We've got a ton of resources on there for cancer, behavioral health, cardiovascular. Again, it's kind of nice to see a success coming out of Florida once again. We've got this great model that was designed for the Florida Fire Service and our brothers in Florida law enforcement. Our first clinic that we established was the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office, and we're still there today, 20 some odd years later. The sheriff is now Congressman Rutherford and a new sheriff, but you talk to the departments that have used LifeScan for two decades. There's so many survivor stories, and Sheriff Gualatari, the Pinellas County Sheriff, last year's Florida President of the Sheriff's Association, said, we've not only saved so many lives, but we've saved the agency in terms of cost, because he's got a healthier workforce, that knows he cares about them because he's invested in early detection. So it's been a great blessing to be able not only to continue to stay involved in the fire service, but I can't tell you, and I know we're going to take a break here shortly, and we'll talk, I'm sure, more in the second segment, but I can't tell you how gratifying it is on a regular basis to get a phone call, an email from a chief or a fellow brother and sister, firefighter, or Leo, to tell me that, I'm alive today because of what LifeScan Wellness Center's found. And my family thanks you. And so it's gratifying. I enjoyed my 30 years of service at Broward, this is really puts it in perspective when you're saving people's lives on an almost daily basis.
Right. Right. Sure. And, it folds right in when you think about it, because these are two divisions of public safety, which is what we're talking about today, fire and law enforcement. Our job, our primary job, is prevention. We do work in fire prevention. Our Leo brothers and sisters do loss prevention and helping citizens and business owners and so on avoid those kind of criminal problems. And that's still prevention. And so this ties right in to what we're supposed to do. Because if we, I've said this before, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't, no matter what the oath was of office that we took when we got that badge, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of anybody else.
It's funny you say that. We maybe should have contracted with yourself. I serve on the advisory board for the, a subsidy of the National Fallen Firefighters. It's called the First Responder Center of Excellence. So we hired a big PR marketing firm out of Washington, D.C., to come up with a national media campaign to encourage firefighter physicals. And that's exactly what they came up with. The branding was, you can't save others if you don't save yourself. Mm-hmm. And you hit it right on the head. I mean, if you think about it, you may have seen this past week, I'm pretty active on social media. I kind of had the analogy of, hopefully as fire service community, we wouldn't have our homes without smoke detectors and smoke alarms. That protects our health and property in our home. Really, the comprehensive annual physical is that same protection to us as individuals and for peace of mind to our family. It's really, nothing to be afraid of. The reality is, if we find whatever process is underway in your body early, almost all of it's manageable, fixable. And that's the key. We know if we don't find it early, one simple example, not even cancer related, we know that Firefighters who don't have their blood pressure well managed and under good control are 12 times more likely to die of sudden cardiac death on the fireground. And that's something simple. Just having that checked as part of your comprehensive annual exam. If it needs a little, you know, change in your diet, a little change in the amount of salt, or even, you know, if we have to add, you know, a little bit of medication. And then when you add the comprehensive screening of, you know, cardiac echo that we include in the exams, that's looking for that enlarged heart, which can be treated as well. So it's all about, like you said, prevention. And if we find it early, we address it and we go on and have a safe and long continued career of service. So that's the goal is, like you, you know, every year we pay respect to those that have made the ultimate sacrifice. And, you know, we continue to see far too many, in my humble opinion, from cardiac death, cancer death, and firefighter suicide. And we have great screening for all three of those. And we need to make sure that we're giving our troops that highest level of annual screening and medical exam in a non-punitive way, all about making sure they survive. Right. And that's what this is, surviving the fire service.
Yeah, I think too many we've seen, I'm sure you've seen it as well with your experience. Too many that I call, they think they're invincible, and they become the first domino that tips over. And as we've all seen on the demonstrations on TV, with somebody setting up 3,000 dominoes, when they're all set up and you don't see anything, all he does is touch one, and that knocks them all the rest down. And then there's a shake. Well, the problem is that in the fire service or law enforcement, if you're the leader and you go down on an emergency scene, you're knocking all the other dominoes on that scene down, and you're changing everybody's duty, what they were doing. So if you think, well, I got to go through the door, everybody knows I'm the big guy and I'm going to go through the door first, and you get that door open, and as you cross the threshold, you collapse with chest pain because you had chest pains before and you just didn't say anything to anybody. Well, now you have the firefighter backing you up is in trouble because you're down. The officer who's going into making the entry with you is down. Now you got to call the RIT team in, and they were on the other yard just waiting for something like that. Then you have a line team coming in. So you lose a line that's supposed to take care of the people on the roof. You got to get them off the roof because they can't be up there without a hose line protection. You've changed everybody, the entire view of that emergency scene, by saying, I got to be the big guy. Everybody knows me by reputation. We have to get rid of ego in the fire service.
Sure, absolutely. You know, there's the adage, it's been said, you know, that your risks become everyone's risks when you hit the fireground.
Right.
And you point out the same, you know, for law enforcement operations. So, addressing, listen, our jobs are always going to have some degree of risk that we cannot completely eliminate. But with your health, it's about addressing preventable and manageable risk before tragedy strikes. And that's the importance. And your point's very well taken. It transcends just you as an individual. It's really something, you know, that you owe to your brother and sister, firefighters and LEOs. And as a leader leading the organization, really you have to focus on addressing, as you pointed out, prevention, community risk reduction. This is kind of health risk reduction. So, I just want to touch, I know we don't have a lot of time, but, you know, the other important, I think, timeliness of, you know, the time we find ourselves in of a once in a century global pandemic. And I think you mentioned you had seen as of last week or just recently, 103 first responders have given their life with the COVID-19.
That doesn't even count the doctors, nurses, respiratory workers we've lost as well.
Absolutely. And we don't know what we don't know still about this virus. You know, I've written extensively with Fire Engineering over the last year of just some of the little research that's dribbling out on long-term health consequences of infection with COVID virus, changes in the vascular lining, changes in pulmonary function. There's been reporting of quote brain fog, end quote, that continues for some time, hypertension. So it becomes, in my humble opinion, and I'm seeing this nationally, I mean, I guess maybe a silver lining of the pandemic for first responders, I've seen anecdotally more departments focusing on the health and wellness of their employees. And I think it's so important that we make sure we have good comprehensive baseline physicals for our providers, because 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now, we're going to want to see subtle changes. I mean, we saw this tragically at Ground Zero with 9/11, and you know, we weren't necessarily aware of the long-term health consequences at the time for those that were on the pile, you know, a week or 2 weeks even later. So it's important that we get those baselines. We're now rolling out vaccines, and you know, first responders will be offered or even encouraged to be vaccinated again. There, we don't have long-term data on that, so it's important that we get these comprehensive early detection physicals for that reason as well. I mean, let's face it, this is a pandemic that rivals, you know, one that was back a century ago.
Spanish flu, yeah.
Yeah, the Spanish flu. And with first responders being on the line and many of them having been infected or exposed, we want to make sure we have those good baseline comprehensive physicals so we can track, you know, any type of additional assistance or intervention that they may need down the road as we continue to learn more and more about the effects.
Right. You know, I with what you just said, I think and I've seen many departments, both through social media, online, through TV, the departments are investing so much in PPE to help protect their first responders who are answering these COVID, a lot of these COVID calls. And we know that our fire service has evolved over the last 30 years, 35 years. We are more a combination department now. We are not volunteers and career. We have of what we do and provide service to the community. We're not just firefighters. We're EMTs and paramedics, and we provide emergency medical services to them. And with that evolution, we have to look inside that if we're willing to go all out and get every sort of PPE and plastic sheathing for the backs of the ambulances and the other vehicles to do it, then if we can avoid it, if we can invest in stuff that we throw away, how do we not invest in the people that we want to keep and help them serve us and their community as long as they possibly can in good health?
Yeah, I mean, you've heard me say this time and time again, Steve, and I couldn't agree more strongly. A wise mentor told me, if you don't have healthy and well firefighters, you don't have a fire department.
That's right.
You know, so, you know, we need to really, and I still do hear this across the country that, you know, I was speaking to a department yesterday, a large metro department that was struggling to pay for physicals. And you know, we kind of guided them towards the Assistance to the Firefighter Grants Program. But we also have to, I think, prioritize, you know, how we, and this is just my humble opinion is, you know, again, we wouldn't think of hopefully not providing preventative maintenance to our equipment and our apparatus. And in most cases, the cost of a comprehensive annual detection physical for a firefighter is substantially less than it is to maintain our apparatus. So, you know, I think we need to, I don't want it to be a cliche that we need to put our people first, because I believe we all believe that, but we really do have to, you know, when I look at some of the data that the IFC compiled, and it's a little bit dated, it's 2016, But it still shared approximately 20% of the career departments, about 40% of volunteer departments were not providing some type of annual physical. And many of the ones that were providing physicals, they weren't necessarily comprehensive, specific to firefighters physicals. They were a general, you know, general population exam. So we need to, as a fire service, we need to continue, and we've made tremendous inroads from even, I mean, when you and I started, you know, I think about, you know, before I brought LifeScan wellness centers into Broward, I had an entry physical. And then maybe if I went to my physician who saw me, but certainly that provider was not familiar with occupational health risk to firefighters, was applying the general population recommendations to myself. I mean, I just had my second colonoscopy recently. And I think the recent recommendations have lowered the age from 50 to now 45, but that's for general population. We know firefighters have much higher rates of colon cancer. So our screenings need to be different. That's hence why LifeScan has incorporated imaging as part of the standard firefighter physical. So it's just a, you know, we've made tremendous inroads, but I think we still have more work to do. And it's, I give credit to, you know, a lot of National Volunteer Fire Council, the IFF, the IFC, folks like yourself that continue to help advocate and educate. And we are making progress. We're not there yet, but I can tell you it's been, and I think the pandemic is actually, like I said, I think it's helped us as a service focus on the priorities of taking care of our own.
Right. Great point. All right. We're going to take a break here, folks. And when we come back, Todd shared one success story from the firefighter in Texas, but he has a lot more to share with us. So we'll be right back right after these words. As always, please stay tuned. If you're watching the video, you won't see anything different. We'll be right back. The tone sounds and the dispatcher announces, stations 14 and 16, working residential structure. And that was all you needed to hear. You jump up from your chair, head to the engine, and climb into the jump seat. As the cue screams, you take stock of your PPE. Bunker pants, check. Turnout coat, check. Hood, check. Gloves, check. Escape line, check. SCBA strapped on, you're ready. Upon arrival, you jump off the apparatus, grab the loops of the Red Cross lay, and head for the open front door, where smoke is pouring out. You make sure your buddy is behind you. Crouch low and make your way inside, your trusty SCBA mask hanging on your tool belt. What? Stop everything. What the hell are you thinking? You see, it's a working room and contents fire, and the smoke is banking down almost to the floor. Who do you think you are, Superman? One breath of that crap and the smoke will damage you in some way, guaranteed. All the soot, carbon, carcinogens, and other outgassing materials will enter your body through the pores on your unprotected face. Don't be the domino, the first person down that forces everyone else to change their tasks to take care of you. Always remember, face peace on. You have comrades depending on you and a family to go to. Face peace on.
You show up for your shift, but you're not feeling 100%. You greet your colleagues with a smile, but just can't put your finger on it. I'll shake it off in an hour, you think to yourself. You take a couple of nothing runs, but you're still not feeling any better when you get back to the barn. You throw some cold water on your face and think, yeah, that's more like it. And you head back to the day room. With training scheduled for after lunch, you make yourself comfortable in one of the recliners, but as you sit there, you feel ill. You start to sweat, and you feel nauseous. There's a pain in your left arm that you've never had before. Hey, guys, you call out. I'm not feeling well. And your voice trails, your eyes close, and the darkness surrounds you. More firefighters die from cardiovascular health issues than any other reason. Don't let self-pride get in the way of taking care of yourself. See your doctor on a regular basis, and be sure to advise him or her that you're a firefighter. Don't be a statistic. be a healthy firefighter with a long career. For more information, visit the IAFF, NVFC, or IAFC SHS websites.
Imagine you're on a busy fire scene or other emergency scene. Suddenly, those tones that bring a shudder to each of us are heard through the radio, followed by the words we never want to hear, Mayday, Mayday. You didn't call that Mayday, and you're not on the RIT or RIC team. Do you know what to do now? Join us, please, on January 26th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time for our new webinar about what to do when there's a Mayday call and you're not involved. Presenters include Battalion Chief Andy Starnes of Insight Training, LLC, Battalion Chief John Dixon of Instructor John Dixon, Captain Joe DeVito of the Fort Myers Beach Fire Protection District, and Firefighter Nick Higgins of the Firehouse Tribune, as they share their knowledge and experience and wisdom on this very important topic. Details and tickets are now available at http://bit, capital B as in Bravo, it.ly/Mayday, all in caps, Mayday 2021. Net proceeds will benefit the 5-Alarm Task Force Corps Foundation account, used to help our brothers and sisters in dire need. 2020 has been a heck of a year for most of us. Let us never forget our more than 100 first responders from all branches of public service who we have lost to COVID-19, as well as the doctors, nurses, respiratory therapists, and other health workers who we have lost. May their memories always be for a blessing. From our presenters and the 5-Alarm Task Force team, we wish you a happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, and may we all celebrate a happy, healthy, and safe New Year. And we're back with this episode of 5-Alarm Task Force and my good friend and my guest, Todd LeDuc, the Chief Strategy Officer for LifeScan Wellness Centers. And I would be remiss, because I forgot, didn't say it at the front, is that when I took ill earlier last month, I needed two visits to the local ER, and my fire department in my city, Coral Springs, Florida, came out twice, and they were the five stars service people. They know I'm a former firefighter medic, and my background in paramedicine and working in medical offices as well as triage director, but they just took me and said, you're one of us, we're treating you like one of our own. And I just can't thank you, meaning my brothers and sisters at Coral Springs, enough for the help you rendered when I needed it. So thank you all very much. So Todd, now that we're back, we're going to come with some really good news. We kind of maybe bummed a few people out a little bit, but it's important that you bum them out because, you know, you and I are very lucky that we have some good friends at University of Miami, Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center, Dr. Alberto Martinez Caban, and Dr. Natalie Schaefer. And these are people who we met a couple of years ago. We actually did the remote. Now, it's a picture you shared on social media promoting our conference, our interview today. And early on in this, when this cancer in the fire service erupted, they took on, because being members of the Sylvester Comprehensive Cancer Center, they took on the task of firefighter cancer. And they've been on several times. You were on with us at least once, if not twice. And those are the kind of doctors and researchers that are also doing the kind of research that we talked about that LifeScan does. We're trying to find out more and more every day about firefighter health, wellness, and fitness for duty. You know, I think it was both Dan Carrigan, Dan Jim, and Aaron Zamzow, who have said repeatedly on the show, a firefighter has to be a combination of a football player, a baseball player, a basketball player, a hockey player, and a soccer player. Because he or she needs that kind of physical ability to do the job that we do. And I think that's a great definition. You know, we all sit back and watch the games that we enjoy, basketball, whatever sport it is. And you just take for granted, oh, look how good she is. Look how fast he's running. Look at him go. Well, you actually are an athlete as well as a firefighter or a law enforcement officer or even an EMT paramedic. You have to perform above your normal resting heart rate most of the time. Now, I joked with the guys when they were taking me out with the new hydraulic litters. And I said, we didn't have those in my day. We had a lift and tug, and whatever happened to your back happened to your back, you know? And then I asked one of them, because I knew I was dehydrated again. I said, you guys need to call med control to start an IV. And he says, how long have you been out? I said, about 30 years. He goes, yeah, we haven't had to call med control in 30 years. We can just start an IV if we want to, if we think we need to start an IV. So, and I said, well, I need one because I'm, he goes, yeah, but they're going to want to do a venipuncture first and get some blood before we start. I said, oh, okay, forget. All right, that's all right. But it was just that banter back and forth between two firefighters, an old fart like me and a new young guy who's doing it. And they were just terrific. And again, I can't thank them enough for the professionalism and the brotherhood that they showed those times. So talking about this brotherhood and sisterhood that we have, let's tell our listeners about some of the great results that LifeScan has wound up being able to share with people that they examined.
Sure, absolutely. And let me add to, certainly shout out to our friends at Coral Springs Fire. They're great LifeScan customers as well, both not only for the fire department, but Coral Springs, very, very proactive with law enforcement and city employees as well. They actually see the value of comprehensive early detection across the entire city workforce. So not only does that provide great early detection success, but it also helps control the city's healthcare costs. So, but yeah, you know, Steve, when you asked me to talk about some of the successes, literally I could go on for days. You can imagine now that LifeScan's expanded and we're in, I think it's 25 plus states. There's not a day that goes by that we don't hear a success story and a thank you. But let me just tell a quick story that can be representative of what we do across the entire fire service and law enforcement community. So my own department, as you mentioned, that I retired from Broward County, Florida, has just finishing, I think they're maybe finishing next week, their physical. So it's a large department close to, I think we just merged in Hallandale Beach Fire Department. And so we're up north of a 800 member department at this point. So LifeScan comes on site and does the Broward physicals. We're there for 5 months since we see 45 people a week. So we basically become part of the department for half of the year. At the same time, one of our other teams is over in Fort Lauderdale doing their exams and another team is up in Coral Springs. So, we've got so many successes, but I want to tell just this one story because I actually, ironically, I didn't find out about it through LifeScan. I got a phone call or a text from a dear friend and colleague, Keith Tyson.
Oh, sure.
So for those of you that don't know Keith, Keith retired from Miami-Dade Fire Rescue, is a cancer survivor, and for quite some time has been the national education director for the Firefighter Cancer Support Network. Mm-hmm. And he's a dear friend. So he texted me or called me and said, hey, I want to let you know LifeScan found a great early success cancer find in Broward in your home department. So I didn't want to violate any confidentiality or so I asked him, if you wouldn't mind, that member had reached out to Keith to help with treatment and support. And so Keith basically asked if he could connect the two of us. And lo and behold, it was one of my 41-year-old captains who was on special operations, was completely asymptomatic, thought he was going in for just his routine. You know, we say routine, but it's really one, you know, the top in the industry, public safety physicals. But he had just had it, you know, his prior one, and everything was fine. So he went in, went through the exam, and on imaging, we were able to find a mass within the bladder. And I'm relating the story that the captain told me. So he basically, we were able to go back and look at prior year's images, which did not have that mass. It was definitely looked suspicious. The captain was given all of his, completed his entire exam, met with our nurse practitioner, went over the findings, gave him copies of his images, shared her concerns, and told him he needed to follow up with urology, which he did. He told me that he contacted, I think with Keith Tyson's help, one of the top urologists in South Florida, who ironically wasn't seeing new patients. But when the urologist heard, 41-year-old firefighter, asymptomatic, and a mass on imaging, he said, "I'll see you at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning." My captain made the trip in. He shared with me that the urologist looked at the images and basically told him, I don't even need to do additional testing. That's an early stage bladder cancer. And he's long story short, he's going to have a tremendously successful outcome going through a course of treatment that compared to what it would have been had he had symptoms. His treatment course would have been much more invasive, much more challenging for him. And the outcome likely would not have been the same. But you know what he shared with me? And I tell this story now across the country. The urologist told him he had been practicing for, I think he said, close to 3 decades. And this was the first 41-year-old asymptomatic bladder cancer that he had seen in his practice. He said, you know, typically bladder cancer, you've got blood in the urine, you've got pain in urination, distension, bloating, some symptomology. And we talked in the first segment before the break, you know, I think oftentimes I've seen in medicine that we wait till we have symptomology before we do testing or screening. And, you know, some of that's driven, I think, not to upset anyone on the talk show here on the radio and the podcast, but some of that's driven by insurance, you know, industry, right? That we won't pay for a test until, you know, it can be medically justified. But, you know, the life scan model, which, you know, purposely we don't accept insurance because we don't want to be driven by the insurance industry. We've designed the model that finds disease processes before symptomology occurs in many cases. So that's just one example. So compelling to me. And again, Broward's a large department. So we see, you know, departments of several thousand, the Jacksonville Sheriff, Pinellas Sheriff, and we see departments as small as 45. But in Broward, within a 30-day window of exams, so within the last month, quite frankly, because the exams are just finishing, we've been there for 5 months, in the last 30 days, in addition to that 41-year-old captain, we've also identified two prostate cancers, 59-year-old and in early 40s, both members of my home department. It's been so, and we've been doing that at Broward Life Scan Wellness Centers physicals for a decade. We've found so many cancers, early cardiac issues, hypertension that just needed to be managed, valvular issues, aortic issues. But it's been so compelling this year because we've in just a 30-day period found three cancers. that the Broward Fire Union is actually making its own testimonial video with the survivors to encourage other locals and other departments of the importance of making this a priority. And, you know, you mentioned Dan Carrigan. And, you know, I this segment could literally go on for days. And I know you or I unfortunately don't have that time. But, you know, you talk about 2020 has been a heck of a year. And
sure has.
Hopefully, you know, shortly it'll be in the rearview mirror. A lot of people have suffered this year and continue and thoughts and prayers go out to all those impacted. But Dan Carrigan and Dan and Dennis Rubin, who's up in Pennsylvania right next to Dan, they've actually now with both of their departments and surrounding departments have contracted with LifeScan Wellness Center because of both of them have been huge health and wellness advocates in the fire service and wanted to offer something more comprehensive for their firefighters than the standard occupational physical. But Dan sent me an email on Thanksgiving morning, so not that couple weeks ago, and it was a firefighter, Bob. I know he's comfortable with me sharing because I've talked to him personally and put it out on social media with his permission to help increase awareness. But here's a volunteer firefighter who went through his LifeScan wellness physical, and we found a close to 95% occlusion of his left anterior descending coronary artery. For those of you that are in the medical know, paramedics are listening, that's commonly referred to as the widowmaker because it's oftentimes first symptom presentation is sudden cardiac death. You know, Gary Ludwig at the IFC has, you know, championed the if you don't feel well, don't make it your final farewell. So what we've tried to do, and Bob's a great example, that he would have, you know, the tones would have gone off, he would have gone out for a call, and he would have been a line of duty statistic likely from a sudden cardiac death on the emergency scene. So he basically said he wanted to share that story. I told him you just made my Thanksgiving. I mean, what better way to wake up on Thanksgiving Day knowing that what you're involved in is something so special that you saved a fellow brother firefighter's life. And it's not me, it's our great, we have 20 some odd clinical teams that travel the country. God love them, you know, they're traveling, they land and set up shop at the departments in all these different states and conduct the physicals. And, you know, Bob is making his own testimonial video because what he told me was, you know, it was, I didn't have any symptomology. You found this during the 1583 portion where our exercise physiologist was doing the 12 lead stress testing and had stress abnormalities on the EKG. Subsequently ended up, I guess they had difficulty stenting, so they ended up having to bypass with him. But he feels fine. He's back with his family. He's got a new lease on life. And what he said to me was, I want to do this video with COVID. I got to figure out because, you know, how we do, maybe we pull the truck outside. But he said, if I can save one life of a brother or a sister firefighter from sharing the story of what LifeScan Wellness did for me, it gives back to him many times over in satisfaction, knowing that he's helped others. So, you know, I talked about Mac Corso's story and him saying, you know, for less than the cost of a dress uniform to bury me in. So it's these, you know, I guess it's a little bit scary that we find so much. We call them significant findings is the term we use that require additional follow-up and testing and intervention. But think about if we weren't doing this type of comprehensive program, all that would still be out there. And likely we'd just be reading about one more member with cancer that died, one more sudden cardiac death, a firefighter suicide. So these are, you know, really to me anyways, real world, compelling brother and sister firefighters that are alive today and are going to have a great, healthy rest of their career and a long, enjoyable retirement with their grandkids and their family and their spouses. So when we all are, we're making tremendous strides in, you know, risk reduction and in cancer best practices and, you know, exposure decontamination. But part of the solution on firefighter survival has to be upping our game on firefighter comprehensive early detection physicals. And I say life scan wellness centers, but we never stop in terms of upping our game. As I mentioned, you know, recommendations coming out about cardiac ultrasound and echo for firefighters. We've been doing that for 23 years, but we're always looking at what are the next enhancements that we can bring. This is probably breaking news. We just partnered with for some time Dr. Denise Smith, she's up at Skidmore. She's one of the leading researchers on firefighter cardiovascular death, and we partnered with her in some data. Since we see 2020 will be close to 50,000. Think about that, 50,000 firefighters and law enforcement officers across the United States. So with that, we've got this tremendous responsibility to help continue to evolve, the knowledge of public safety and first responder health. So one of the things she looked at was testosterone in male firefighters in changes. She's just publishing this in a journal called Andrology. And then she looked at the cardiac echoes that we do. And what she noticed was there was a correlation between lower testosterone and changes in your left ventricle. Mm-hmm. So that was with about 500 firefighters. We need to do more work with a larger sample, but her hypothesis is that it may be a subclinical indication of early cardiac risk. So it's those type of things that we continue to try to enhance what we're doing, what services we provide, and then use the trust that's been placed in us from across the United States, from so many first responders, to help to continue to evolve what we know about first responder health and what we can do to make sure that our mission, which is saving the lives of America's heroes, is something that's always evolving. We're not happy being complacent. We're always looking at what other enhancements can we bring to the toolbox to make sure our first responders go home safe every day.
That's great. Those stories and the fact that you're working with Dr. Smith, who, you know, every other issue of one of our trades comes out, she has a great piece in there or is quoted in a piece in there about her research into first responders' health and safety. And, you know, it's just, you know, there are 1.2 million of us in America, and we come from all backgrounds, all religions, all creeds and colors, but we all share one thing, and that's the passion we have to protect our communities. And that's just firefighters. Add in our brothers and sisters in law enforcement and our brothers and sisters in EMS. We go out of our way, whether we're career or volunteer, we go out of our way to try to help our communities, give of ourselves, give a lot of ourselves, and sometimes take away from our families so that we can give to this either vocation or avocation that we've selected. But, and that's wonderful and that's great, but none of us wear a cape. And since we don't have kryptonite on Earth, we have different versions of kryptonite that we as first responders have to be cognizant of. And I'm not saying dwell on it, but you have to be cognizant of it. Just like you may not have, for example, you may be a paramedic and you haven't done a cut down in 2 years. But if you're on an emergency and the doctor says, do a cut down now on the left ankle, you know how to do it. You do it. And that's because it's in you. It's part of you. And I think what this podcast stresses, especially today with you and what we're learning even more about LifeScan, is that we have to be ready to do what has to be done, whether it's for our community or for ourselves.
Absolutely.
It's one thing to be selfless. And I would say 99% of us are selfless because of what we do.
Sure.
But we have to make sure that selfless doesn't include ourselves, because we have to take care of ourselves to be able to serve. As we said at the very beginning, we have to take care of ourselves so we can continue to serve and do the job, whether it's, again, vocation or avocation. We love doing it. That's why we're there. And that's what you brought out today. It's so important for us to take care of ourselves so that we can continue to take care of our communities.
Yeah. And, maybe I'll close on this, Steve. I would submit to your listeners that you're absolutely right that none of us do wear a cape. But when it comes to your health and wellness, really comprehensive early detection physicals are the cape.
Right.
Exactly. And that, is not something to be fearful of. It brings to attention how to manage your own health and do it in a way that you can not only continue to serve, as you point out, but continue to spend time with loved ones and those that care about you. So I want to put a plug in once again, because we've had a good hour, but I know there's so much information still to talk about, and your listeners, I'm sure, are intrigued. So our website is a tremendous resource, www.lifescanwellness.com. It's got not only what we do, but there's a resource page on there, as I mentioned, with a lot of links to different resources from National Volunteer Fire Council, the IFF, IFC. You've got an opportunity to see Dan Kerrigan and my books on there as well, that have a tremendous amount of information in them. So, and it's always an honor and a privilege to spend time with you and your listeners on a topic today that is not only near and dear to me, but ultimately saves the lives of our fellow first responder brother and sisters.
Well, it's great to have you. And you gave the website, and on Twitter, you're at Todd J. LeDuc. All right, that's your handle.
That's my Twitter handle, yes.
And an email if they want to reach you at LifeScan.
Sure, they can send an email either through the website. There's a contact area where they can request any information, and it'll be forwarded to myself, or email me directly. That's Todd LeDuc LEDUC at lifescanwellness.com. And I'm happy to continue a dialogue with anyone, or answer questions, or help in any way possible with your health and wellness of your members.
Great, great. Thanks so much. Well, Todd, it's great spending time with you. Every time you come on, it's great information. When you were still with Broward, executive assistant chief there, you always brought great information. And since LifeScan, I'm just thrilled to be able to share this information with our viewers and listeners now, especially that we're on YouTube as well as our audio podcast available on every podcast engine, and some I didn't even know that were out there. But that's great, because more people hear these stories, more people hear the information, that hopefully will drive at maybe one more person to say, hey, Chief, I just listened to this podcast about this thing, LifeScan Wellness Centers. Do you know anything about them? Can we look into it? If that happens just once, then this podcast has served its purpose.
Absolutely. And I thank you for continuing to keep in the forefront the importance of firefighter health and safety. And I want to wish all your listeners happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, and Merry Christmas. And let's all hope 2020 holds a bright future for the fire service and first responders. And Steve, I wish you continued health and great holidays.
Thank you. You too. Have a Merry Christmas. Thanks again, Todd. Always great to have you.
All right, we'll be right back
right after this message.
You're listening to Five Alarm Task Force.
Remember when you were a young boy or girl and someone bullied or teased you? Where do you most often turn? Like many of us, you turn to your family. If you're a first responder, you probably no longer worry about those childhood problems. But there are plenty more that can affect us. Lack of sleep, the tragedy and horror we often see, even life's everyday stumbling blocks, like family illness, money, job problems, and more. So where do you turn now? Your gut reaction might be to keep it to yourself and not tell anyone about the hell you're going through. However, that's not going to help you or anyone else. Instead, you could start with your second family, someone you work with at the firehouse, on the ambulance, or at the station. You spend a lot of time with them, and most of them understand many of the problems you're dealing with. Reach out to a coworker or an officer you trust. Speak to clergy at your house of worship, or contact your SISM team. Don't keep it inside, gnawing away at you. That's not good for you or anyone around you. Know that there are people who stand ready to listen to you and help you without passing judgment. Remember, to carry out your oath to protect life and property, the first life you have to care for is your own. Brought to you by Five Alarm Task Force, along with the Critical Incident Stress Management Team in your area, close by and confidential.
It just slows me down.
It's too hard to do it and put my gear on.
I'm not comfortable.
I'm a big guy. I can't do it.
I'm just not comfortable wearing it.
You gotta be kidding me. Real firefighters don't need them.
Come on. There's no way I can wear my SCBA and my seatbelt at the same time.
Yes, we've heard all the excuses, but we can think of at least one good reason why you should buckle up. Can't you? Be a hero to those who mean the most to you. Buckle up. A message from the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation.
Time to call it a night. The kids are tucked in, the TV's off, and the dog's in the den. Seems all is calm. But wait, it's not all right. When it's time for bed, keep your family safe in the event of a fire. Close before you doze. In other words, close your bedroom doors when it's time to sleep. You've installed working smoke and carbon monoxide alarms and practiced fire escape plans. Now add this important step to protecting yourself and your loved ones. Close before you doze. Closed doors dramatically decrease heat and carbon monoxide levels, providing trapped occupants more time to escape when seconds count. Closed doors can slow the spread of smoke and fire, conserve oxygen levels, and keep temperatures significantly lower. Also remember, if you're the last one to exit, make sure you close the main door. For more information about close before you doze, visit ulfirefightersafety.org. A life safety message from UL Firefighter Safety Research Institute, your local fire department, and Five Alarm Task Force.
Hi, folks. I just want to come back with a couple of messages for this video. Number one, again, my sincere thanks to my dear friend, Todd LeDuc from LifeScan Wellness Centers. If you have any questions or you didn't get his email or the website, just send an email to info@5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org and we'll put you in touch with Todd and make sure that connection has happened. One of the things that we talked about in this podcast, as Todd mentioned, was sometimes there's a lack of symptoms that you recognize. And to be honest with you, with the infection I just went through, that was my case. I did not have the preeminent symptom that most men have when we get this infection. And that is, the infection is called a UTI, urinary tract infection. Not that common in men, although men often have bladder infections and kidney infections. But UTIs are very common in women. And in some men where there's a proclivity, a family proclivity towards it. I had never had one whatsoever. And the
preeminent symptom is burning upon urination, which I didn't have at all. So as the doctor explained to me subsequently, in a guy, when you don't have that symptom, so you don't know that there's a problem, the infection begins to grow and affects other parts of your body. My symptoms were extreme lethargy, lack of appetite, inability to drink liquids, constant nausea when trying to eat any foods. And subsequently, I developed spasticity in my legs and arm, which is due to a higher than normal lactic acid and lower than normal potassium. So why am I sharing this? Is because I learned a lesson. I learned a lesson. With all my medical background, knowing what that preeminent symptom was, I would have known to go to my primary care or visit a urologist. I didn't have that symptom. So I had no idea what I was suffering with over the course of initially the first 2.5 weeks. I got to the point where I was so weak and beginning short of breath that I had to go into the ER. And that visit, it was okay, but they only found dehydration and high ketones. So they hung a bag of normal saline. I felt better a couple of hours later, sent me home. I thought Friday I'd be great. In the morning I woke up feeling a little bit better, but by the day, rest of the day, I was back to where I was all day, Saturday, Sunday. Monday, my daughter finally got an appointment with my primary care physician, but it was late in the afternoon. And by earlier that afternoon, I was back where I was on Thursday. I could not do anything. I could barely walk, could barely move. So we went in again to the ER, and this time it was a totally different experience. My sincere thanks to the ER team at Broward Health, Coral Springs, for, even though it was a second visit, remarkable service and care shown to me and to my daughter, who was sitting there with me quite concerned, of course. But as Todd and I talked about in this podcast, you can't necessarily depend on symptoms. You can't. I've learned that. Todd just gave you plenty of examples of that. We can be asymptomatic and still be ill or possibly dangerously ill. Okay. It's up to us, each of us, active firefighter, retired firefighter, active law enforcement, retired law enforcement, active EMS, retired EMS. You have to take care of yourself. Don't just assume that you know what's happening. Because with all our experience, those of us who were evolved in paramedicine, but not medical doctors, we don't know every symptom. We don't know necessarily what's causing this to happen. So if you have a question about your health, male, female, firefighter, cop, paramedic, EMT, makes no difference. We love to take care of people. That's why we do the jobs we do. Yeah, there's some frustration in it sometimes with the bureaucracy. Yeah, I know that. But I'm talking about the job. We choose this job. Or maybe some, like me, the job chose me. But to render that aid and take care of others that we love to do, even the hardest cases that we've seen, we still were proud that we were there to try to help them. You need to help yourself first. I've been the quasi-medical director for my family, extended family, friends seek me out, and I try to give them the best information I can and still often refer them to their primary care physician and not just depend on my limited opinion and limited expertise. But I'm trying to say to you, you have to do the same thing. Don't assume that you know anything and everything could be wrong with you, especially those situations that are basically hidden, like mine was, like that captain's was, like the firefighter in Texas was. They had no idea what was happening. And we could have lost them. But thanks to LifeScan, they're still here. And with a good promise for
a viable and nice future for them. So please, don't just assume you know it all. I know my body. Boy, how many times have I heard that when I was on calls? I know me. Well, I thought I knew me too. And I was wrong. And I paid a price for it. I'm better. I'm getting better. And another week or two, I'll be back 100%. Good news. I got another test result this morning, which was negative. And that was great. I was a little worried, but I was great. I was happy. So please take care of yourselves. And finally, you know, most of you have read or watched these videos and listened to the podcast know that we created a new nonprofit this year, Five Alarm Task Force Corp. We have one mission. It's called, our motto is one family, one mission, first responders helping each other. Now, this is a tough time for all of us, especially monetarily. Many of us are cut hours. Maybe some of us have been sick and lost hours over, you know, used up all our sick time. And money is tight. And I know that. But I'm proud to tell you two stories that we have already helped in the first month that we launched the nonprofit. The first was a small volunteer fire department in Kansas. And one night, at about 1 o'clock in the morning, a DUI driver in a big pickup truck struck their building at approximately 100 miles an hour. He survived with a broken hip, where, of course, under the dash, where he slid upon the crash. The fire department's building was irreparably damaged, as were the two pieces of apparatus they had. This is a small volunteer department. I think it was 24, 25 members. And a great chief, a nice guy. I've spoken with him. And so when we read that on Chief Billy's secret list, I talked with my two colleagues on in the company. Most of you know Battalion Chief Andy Starnes and Firefighter Nick Higgins of the Firehouse Tribune. And we all agreed instantly that we needed to send some money to this fire department to help them. Then many of you, if you're in the fire service, heard just about a month ago that a firefighter south of where I live in the greater Fort Lauderdale area, down in Miami-Dade, working that late morning, responded to a fire at his own home. And when they arrived and they were able to get the fire out, he found his wife had perished in the blaze. We got that on the news, local news here. And I knew, again, this was a moment that we had to help. Spoke with Andy and Nick. We agreed. And I was able to make contact with the captain of Corey's station, Station 6, Miami-Dade Fire Rescue Station 6, Captain Morales. Great guy. Really cares for his people. And I said, look, I saw your GoFundMe page and it was doing great, but we have a new nonprofit. I'm based up here in Coral Springs in Northwest Broward. We want to help as well. And we want to send a check. And so we figured out a way to do that. And we sent a check. And he called me to let me know just how much it meant to Corey. Not just GoFundMe page, but that we, Five Alarm Task Force Corp, a brand new nonprofit, hardly with much publicity, we were able to help them. So how can you help us? If you visit our website, www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org, on most of the pages, you'll see the donate button. And while it's provided by PayPal, you don't have to have a PayPal account. You can use any credit or debit card that you wish. And make any donation from a dollar or more. Anything you give will help us do what we're doing. That's our only mission, is to help our brothers and sisters in dire need. Now, another way you can help and maybe get a piece of us is we have some of our shirts still available in our store on the website. And the net proceeds of your t-shirt, and I'm wearing one today, as you can see, this is the black version, okay? And we also have them in gray right now, and they're short sleeve. They're a real good fabric, much better than our old t-shirts that we first got from a foreign company. And the net proceeds goes to our foundation account, and that's the account we use to disperse funds to our brothers and sisters in dire need. And you get a great t-shirt to wear. And our motto is printed on white on the back. You can see that on the website in our store. Again, at www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. Thanks for watching and thanks for listening. We'll be right back on the audio. If this is the video you're watching, that's it for now. We'll have another podcast interview next Thursday with Dr. Gamaliel Bear. You'll learn more about him on Thursday's recording. To all of you observing Hanukkah, Chag Sameach, have a happy holiday. For if I don't get to you all, the rest of you, by early before Christmas, then my wife and family and the team here at 5 Alarm Task Force wish you a very Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy New Year. Take care.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property, and you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at makemeafirefighter.org.
And that wraps this episode of 5 Alarm Task Force, brought to you by 5 Alarm Task Force Corp. One family, one mission, first responders helping each other. We'd like to thank our guest, Todd LeDuc of LifeScan Wellness Centers, for joining us to discuss the company and why their motto is so appropriate when they say, "We save first responders." Did you know you can find us and subscribe to us on all the top podcast platforms? Just search for 5 Alarm Task Force. And don't forget, we're on YouTube as well. Just search for 5-Alarm Task Force Corp. We also want to thank our sponsors, Insight Training LLC and the Firehouse Tribune, and our promotional partners, Chief Miller Products and Sites, LifeScan Wellness Centers, Nesta Bars, the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, the Firefighter Cancer Support Network, the Albemarle Sweet Shop, the North Florida Fire Expo, and the Great Florida Fire School. If you would like to be a guest with us or have a suggestion for a show, please drop us a line to info@5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at 5 Alarm Task Force, on Facebook at @DalmatProdFire, and on YouTube, just subscribe to our channel, 5 Alarm Task Force Corp. Stay up to date with all the news about our podcast, our new nonprofit foundation, and our blog on our website, www.5-alarmtaskforcecorp.org. I'm Steve Green. Until next time, stay safe, stay well, and let's make sure everyone goes home.